All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Hopefully you guys can hear me, and hopefully everybody had a great long weekend. We got to celebrate some independence from the people who were imposing a huge tea tax on our colonies. And so here we are, 249 years later, enjoying what seems like is a dwindling amount of freedom in this technological age. But not to start the show off with anything too negative, we'll get into some topics today, but wanted to welcome everybody on this Monday morning to Bitcoin Veteran Spaces number 215. This space is scheduled for every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning, joined by, looks like, Texas Toast. He's having a little connection issues. We got FP up here, throw out some other invites. Hopefully you guys can join us. But let's look at some Bitcoin stats. All right. So as I said, today is Monday, July 7th, 2025. And it looks like we are Bitcoin block height 904,461, with the Bitcoin price hovering right around $108,565, which means you can still pick up 921 sats for each US dollar. And what a weekend. Lots of stuff going on, some good, some bad. We'll cover some of those things. But as a reminder for the audience, if you'd like to come up, love to have you. Get as many speakers as possible. It looks like we got some requests, which is great. And we'll try to get you guys up here. If you can't talk, but you want to participate, use that purple pill in the bottom right and throw a comment or a question for the panel. Also, please help us out. Retweet the space and somebody get Texas Toast another device to connect with because he keeps dropping. But with that, wanted to say good morning to some folks on the panel. Looks like we still have BFP. How are you this morning?
Good, Bob. How's it going?
Good, great, and wonderful here. BitPetro, thanks for joining us. How are you this morning, sir?
Doing well. Good morning. Good morning.
All right. I'm working to get Texas Toast up here again to say good morning to him.
Hey.
Hey, there he is. Hey,
Good
how's it
morning.
going?
Sorry. I was changing a baby and moving, so here we go. But good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's a crazy weekend. I feel like every weekend has been it's been awesome. So much happening. This one didn't disappoint. We got a new party. We got the big beautiful bill. It's all happening. Life is good.
Exactly. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming up. How are you this morning, sir?
Morning, guys. I'm honestly tired because the weekend was long for me with a newborn and then a dog that is extremely terrified of fireworks. And we had a late night last night because my son, he still has to get fed through a feeding tube because he has Down syndrome, so he has issues with eating fast enough. And he ripped that tube out last night. So I've been up for 36 hours making sure that he gets enough food and does not, do newborn things and put himself into danger while he's sleeping. So we just got a brand new couch delivered probably an hour ago. So I'm just enjoying that while I chill with you guys. Good morning to the rest of you.
Nice. Yeah, good to have you. And we will try not to put you on the spot too much, but thanks for joining us anyway. As I said, anybody else that wants to come up, would love to have you. Got a lot to cover this morning. Maybe we'll start with maybe some sad news. I think everybody in the nation heard about on Friday, flash flooding in Texas, and seems like they're still sorting that stuff out. But did want to maybe kick that topic around, get your guys' thoughts. Obviously, it's not really Bitcoin related, but natural disaster, I feel like we should cover. And hopefully the response to this disaster is is good. I haven't seen too much yet, but wanted to see what you guys are thinking about this, or maybe some reports that you had seen related to this story.
I tell you what, I've seen quite a bit of pretty great stories as far as like Americans picking up the kind of stepping into the gap and performing in moments where everybody else would definitely fail. There's the one going around of the was it the search and rescue diver that has saved 165 lives. He's directing the Blackhawks in the MH-60s. And then I just read a story about an individual who was getting his family to safety and ended up severing an artery while he was doing it. And, basically told his family that he wasn't going to make it. Like, it's pretty hard stuff that you're seeing. And the other thing too is like, obviously you can't talk about this stuff without, the Mystic Camp girls that,
Mike, I was going to say the Mystic Camp owner. That guy was a hero. He set that camp and dedicate his life to kids, but he died saving kids. So that's an angel among us.
Hell yeah. Well, it was a tired weekend for me, and emotions were pretty easy to come by, but I got pretty triggered seeing the news reports coming in within the first couple of hours. And we all know how much social media and the internet allows for like the worst of humanity to bubble up to the surface. But people that were trying to say that like the camp counselors and other people should have been prepared. Like, for those of you that don't know, I think it was what, like the water rose by 20 feet in 45 minutes, something like that. Like there's no preparing for that. That's a wall of water that's, comparable to, the amount of like
27 feet, 27 yeah. feet. That's a 30-foot wall of water coming at you.
Yeah.
And not only that, if you guys have a chance to see, there's a couple of time lapse videos of the water rising. You will get a sense for how much of water that was. I had a friend, my brother had a friend that, his daughter was rescued 12 miles from Camp Mystic.
Yeah, that's pretty comparable to the stuff that we were seeing, with Hurricane Helene out in North Carolina. And you're dealing with a completely different environment when it's more flat like Texas, and you don't have the kind of quite the kind of soil that Appalachia does with the root systems up in the mountains and everything. So there's a lot of devastation. There's going to be a lot of recovery. And I noticed there was flooding in, I believe, Carolina with the tropical storm that was hitting the coast last night. So there's a lot of need for some good old American grit, and I think luckily we're not really short of that following 4th of July. So count your blessings where you can find them.
Yeah, I would agree. And don't want to camp out too much on this one, but I did want to cover this topic because I think it is on a lot of people's minds. And obviously Bitcoin Veterans has had a history of stepping up in some ways, and you know, maybe we'll see that again, but at the very least, it is good to see fellow Americans stepping up. And yeah, the heroic stories of some of these folks who are you know, again, stepping up and hopefully making making a terrible situation slightly better. So did see we have Yomar on the stage. Wanted to say good morning to you, sir. But maybe let's hop in to this story that Elon Musk is following through with his threat or promise and has created the America Party. Wanted to get the panel's thoughts on this, and do you think it'll have traction? Is it just a publicity stunt? What do you guys think?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it kind of depends. I think if he... I listened to a guy that... is really big in the Libertarian Party. He was kind of explaining that Elon doesn't really completely understand yet the obstacle that's in front of him with the two-party system and how they control the entire thing. He might get some local elections and build that way, but this is a long-term effort, and it's going to take a lot of money, a lot of lawyers, which he has both. So it can be done, and he's somebody that could probably do it, but he's got to find a message. He's got to find an ideology. I mean, it's a lot deeper than I think a lot of people were thinking about. And so it's kind of a wait and see game, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just wasted a bunch of money and then nothing changes at the end of the day.
Well, he can also use it to like mobilize and like people and money, right? So they don't necessarily have to have their own candidate. They can always just endorse a candidate that is on a particular ticket, and then they might show up, you know, if they have ballot access there. They could show up twice on the ticket. So you could see, you know, they might be under the Republican, and then they'll also say like America Party and have the same name. I don't know if it really changes anything, but it's just kind of, like I said, it could probably be used to help direct funds and stuff like that. You know, I'm sure, Massey could use some help there. I don't know if Trump is, or if Elon's looking to have Massey as the front man for the new party, but I don't know if he'll leave just because it is like. And if you listen to Massey on, I forget what podcast it was, but he was talking about how it's like nearly impossible to be outside of the two parties. Just the way the whole thing is structured, like right down to like the lounge rooms in the house, it's set up for two parties, and if you're not in them, you have no like supporting facilities in the building. So it's definitely an uphill battle. I don't know if it'll actually be successful. I have very high doubts. You know, we see how ineffective the Libertarian Party is, and they've been around for a long time trying to do things. So not really that hopeful that Musk can do much better.
One thing I was going to add, one thing I was going to add following, Yomar's thoughts and contribution was that at the very least, Yomar, you're kind of getting it to what I was going to say was that like the Libertarian Party, while I agree with a lot of the things that they like stand for, ultimately is just kind of like a doomed party. And I think their track record has kind of shown as much, because government is going to government, and government is always going to want to grow. And you can't make a government party that is talking about reducing spending when, we're in a governmental construct that ends up allowing for the mass population to be able to vote, because the mass population, just doesn't understand a lot of the things that their representatives are going to be voting and debating on. Which is, you know, kind of to the core of why the founding fathers made it a republic and not a democracy. But anyway, the point being is that I think that there is a benefit that, if this America Party, besides the fact that the name of it is just ridiculous, like he could have thought of something a little bit better, but the America Party could be a good kind of like throwing a wrench in the system if it survives long enough and it attracts like the right kind of people. Cause I don't know if you guys saw the comedian social media influencers video. I tweeted it yesterday, I think, that he was making fun of this America Party because the Democratic Party was founded, was made by Americans, the Republican Party is made by Americans, and then he goes, the America Party is made by a South African. Wait, what? So it's already off to, it's got a cliff edge ahead of it. It's not just an uphill battle, it's a straight up cliff. So, I mean, I have
maybe,
I have hope that chaos can benefit the American people, but, I, like you guys, I don't have a whole lot of, bets that it's going to.
To be fair, the Republican and Democratic parties can just merge into the Israel Party. And then, you know, if Musk wants to go on a separate tangent, he can actually have an America Party, and this would all make sense then. Because they clearly don't serve the United States of America.
It'll be the India Party versus the Israeli Party.
It's the APAC Alliance.
It'll battle it out.
the AIPAC
did you guys see
against the America Party.
Bro, you guys saw Ted Cruz tweeting about Israel on July 4th as fucking all that shit's going on in Texas?
Yep. one of the top replies was that, don't you have catastrophic flooding in your state right now? So I was like, yeah, dude, you need to read the room.
Dude, I mean, not for, of all the days, like, you know, like if the, even without the tragedy, it's like, you know, I don't want to clutch my pearls and be offended by somebody's stupidity, but come on, man. It's July 4th, Independence Day, and you're talking about like the foreign nation that you're serving as like people in your own state are like suffering and dying. Like it's crazy.
Can you say captured, Omar?
What's that?
Can you say captured?
Yeah, seriously, occupied, man. Occupied.
Well, and back to the America Party, it's like, did I'm sure everybody saw the Bitcoin tweet or the, you know, question. Somebody had a question that said, will the America Party endorse, or support Bitcoin or something to that effect? And Elon Musk replied to that person and said, well, fiat is hopeless. So yes. So who knows? I mean, and on July 4th, you want to hear my crazy conspiracy? All right. That $8 billion, that was Elon on July 4th, moving some funds around to get the America Party going. And it's going to be powered by Bitcoin and it's going to take over. And, that's how America is going to run on Bitcoin. There you go.
I don't know. I remember back, was it 2 years ago when Musk was talking about, well, Bitcoin has to be more eco-friendly for me to support it or whatever bullshit line he was saying.
Hang on. I got to chime in that last one because I think this is totally Roger Ver ceding the American, Bitcoin strategic reserve and buying himself a ticket out of jail. So finally Bitcoin Jesus is back.
That's a good theory, actually. That's a pretty good theory. Or Elon rock to brute force the Bitcoin Cash, chain. Cause it wasn't the Bitcoin Cash moved first and then, that same wallet had access to those Bitcoins and then, oh my God, I used Bitcoin in the wrong plural. I'm going to drink some more coffee. I'll rejoin you guys.
I'm just saying like Roger's got a motive and he's got the means. Come on. Talks like a duck, walks like a duck. No, nobody.
I do think it's interesting. We'll have to, probably see this one play out before we actually know. It is fun to, guess at these things. Some people were saying that it's, someone, a long time holder, obviously, who's upgrading their security or changing to a different wallet type. So who knows? Didn't seem like it went to an exchange. So that,
yeah, man, upgrading your security, get out of jail.
Speaking of security, we had some other news that maybe we'll shift over to. Did you guys see the reports of this woman in Canada who was SIM swapped and lost over $1.3 million worth of Bitcoin?
I didn't see it, but it's a pretty common tactic. It's been happening since 2017. So if for anybody that's new, if you guys haven't heard of it, cause like, Jason Williams got SIM swapped. I believe it was 17 or 18, something like that. Maybe it was 19. And Scott Melker, who's a crypto trader, also got SIM swapped. It's a pretty common tactic, to target individuals like that. So if you're somebody who's like, we've talked about multiple times on here, right, Bob, about, if you're going to be projecting all this Bitcoin stuff in public, like you better be making sure that you have, like your security taken care of to where you have locks on your accounts and you have there's different, especially if you're up into like the 7 and 8 figures, you should have like a protocol and a plan for like SIM swapping attempts and everything else. It's a very real risk factor.
And there's a service out there that people can use to prevent this. Have you guys, does anybody remember what it's called? I was going to look into it, but ran out of time here before the show. Sorry, I don't have the crickets today. So sorry I killed the room with that one. But, you know, despite people's attempts to use these big carriers, if you think about it, you know, these scammers can go in and figure it out and offer these lowly paid people who work at the store a little bit of cash or whatever it would be to, you know, move your SIM over. So, it is a real threat. And I think, yeah, people should definitely be paying attention to it. We have any more comments on this topic? I know it's kind of, I'll just say this. I thought it was interesting that this was a Canadian woman and it was actually denominated in US dollars, not Canadian dollars. But I think she filed a lawsuit and, we'll see what comes of that. I think it was one of the, Canadian cell phone providers, but it remains to be seen how, you know, what kind of accountability the cell phone companies are going to have for the SIM swaps. So I'll leave it open here for any other comments on that. And then we can switch to the next topic. Thank you. It looks like the next one is, did you guys see this thing about Jack Dorsey's BitChat, decentralized chat system, after he captured all of us in Twitter and, was shutting down people's accounts during the pandemic and all these other things? He's now trying to create a decentralized chat called BitChat. Did you guys see this? Thoughts on it? Do you trust Jack Dorsey?
The thing I don't trust about Jack Dorsey is that I don't personally think it was him banning people and shutting down their free speech. I think what he's responsible for is he's responsible for creating the team and the environment that produced that outcome. So to that extent, no, I don't trust that. Like he might have gone monk mode pretty hard in the last couple of years, but, no, I don't trust that he has the wherewithal and the wisdom to produce a system that isn't going to produce maybe not the exact outcome, but isn't going to produce a similar or equal and opposite outcome.
It is an interesting idea. If you look into it, it's going to be used almost like, well, it looks like over Bluetooth. And so it will hop across other devices. And so I wonder exactly how that whole thing will work, but it does seem like an interesting idea, at least. I'm not saying I trust Jack Dorsey, but it says messages are relayed through up to 7 nearby devices using a decentralized mesh network. And right now it's going to be
iOS. It's literally a weekend vibe coding project, and he said that it was. It's not a polished product. It's not a platform. It's none of these things, you guys. He literally sat there with AI and coded up a little sort of experiment that he was thinking about mesh networks and, oh, goodness gracious. And Mike, by the way, you know, he was CEO of a major company in America, and like all other CEOs of these major companies, he had to play ball to a certain extent, and he ended up leaving Twitter. And I'm sure by this point today, he's quite disillusioned by everything that went down at Twitter while he was there. And to me, anything he does, I would approach with the same skepticism you do, except for things like this, which are open source. He actually posted the link to the GitHub where all the code exists. So it's not any kind of like hidden or something with an agenda that you can't just like openly read and diagnose. So just, you know, I totally appreciate where you're coming from, Mike. I just feel like the thing that Jack did and just talked about 24 hours ago is being wildly misinterpreted right now, but also not in this space, but I've seen other posts and stuff like going, oh my God, breaking news. There's a new chat platform. No, it's like literally Jack did a vibe coding session over the weekend. And if you guys don't know what vibe coding means, you sit there with your AI and you engineer stuff, and the AI rapidly increases your ability to crank out code in a short amount of time. You know, Dorsey is an engineer. He hasn't probably done much engineering in many years, but yeah, kind of cool stuff. I don't know. I think it's nifty. I think it's a, you know, just a, another new tool, and we'll see if it turns into anything at all, or if it's just, you know, his weekend playing around with code thing that everyone forgets a week from now. It's just one of these things.
I don't think it's that novel either, right? They basically, like, I don't know the details of it. I haven't looked into it. Just that, you know, it's Bluetooth-based, like, mesh network. I'm pretty sure they used similar stuff during, like, the Arab Spring. I think I remember it coming up in, like, Egypt because they were cracking down on the internet, so they started using something, I think, like this to be able to message amongst the protesters. And I don't know. I feel like that's kind of the niche that this would sit in, like, I don't live, I think the range said 300 meters or something, right? So, like, I'm not sending a message to anybody from my house. So the, I think the use case is kind of limited to, like, cities and then also, like, you know, like, big mass events and stuff like that. At least from my, like, read of, like, one or two bullet points on the list of things that it does. So again, yeah, I guess interesting. It is useful to have that stuff. Especially as, you know, governments around the world are cracking down on free speech. It's always good to have, you know, tools in the repertoire to, you know, fight against that. So that's my take on it. I don't really think it's gonna, like, challenge Twitter or anything, like that. If you are looking for an alternative, I'd recommend, Nostr. That's where, a lot of us
100
post on.
I was actually gonna bring that up. And so I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts, especially those who have been using it. And yeah.
Well, Bob, guys, I mean, specific to, like, what we've been talking about here for the last couple minutes, like, you know, Jack Dorsey is a huge supporter of Nostr. And I think that there's a reason for that, which is that it is an actual, like, open source protocol, and it is something that is, you know, being, it's an interesting thing to watch. It's another one of these grassroots, you know, distributed networks. It has echoes of Bitcoin in that sense. It's not a monetary network. It's a messaging network. It is profound what it actually represents. And I think a lot of people that have had anything less than excitement about it have had the wrong expectation going into it. It's essentially a fledgling distributed messaging network. And what's really cool about it is that it's such a simple protocol and it's so easy to extend. And a lot of people have extended. I mean, I'm sure most people have heard about Zaps. It's basically like you can send, you know, a few Satoshis through Lightning, basically tied to Nostr messages so that in the context of these social media kind of apps, instead of a like, you can do a zap. You can send some sass to the person appreciating their content. But that's just one example of, like, an extension to the base messaging protocol. And there's been just hundreds of other message types. There's people doing e-commerce with it. There's people doing all kinds of other media with it. It's not just a social media thing. So Nostr to me is still something that's wildly misunderstood. And I think it has great potential. I still think it's in its fledgling stage, but even now versus a year ago, it's pretty amazing how far it's come. Some of the apps like Primal and Domus are just, like, continuing to just get better and better. And, honestly, like, my go-to everyday Lightning app is my Primal app. I use it for my Nostr activity and I use it to sling around Zaps. And I use it as just a Lightning wallet. Like, when I'm out in the world and, you know, quickly send or receive, it's kind of the go-to.
Hey, TC, you want to know something cool? That's how I give my kid, her allowance when she reads books and stuff. I'll pay her with her. I made her a Nostr account on Primal. She's got her own phone And the funny thing is that's how mommy can't take the allowance away.
That's cool. Last thing I want to say about it is there's also like a really cool sort of demographic there, because there's a ton of like Bitcoiners who got burned out on Twitter who moved over there. But there's also a ton of people who discover Nostr through other channels and then end up discovering Bitcoin once they get to Nostr because of Zaps. So it's a powerful thing, just sort of the synergy of these technologies. And it's not to say Nostr is like, should be put side by side with Twitter and compared as like, are these things equivalent? It's nothing like that at all. It's the fact that like you have this alternate communication channel that is censorship resistant and is potential to become sovereign with it. You run your own relay. Nobody's deleting your shit. Right. So it's just one of these things like, you know, just put that in your back pocket. I really recommend people like actually do the legwork if you haven't, and like go set up an NPUB and NSEC and like go through that process and like check it out. It may just not be for you right now, but to me, I look at the world and I say, is there ever going to be a time in the next 5 years where we need like an alternate place to communicate about shit? And, you know, the answer to that from my point of view is resoundingly yes. I think it's an important resource.
Yeah, I posted in a Nest my experience getting everything set up with Nostr and getting a wallet and stuff set up. I probably would say that I took the winding path. You could just set up Primal with like, I think it comes, you know, out of the box with a wallet that you can use in most places. But yeah, I wrote a bit about it and why I thought it was important. I posted that to the Nest there if anybody's interested. Yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, I think Musk did a lot for free speech buying Twitter, but his claims of like absolutism, you know, they definitely waned in some parts. He's been decent lately. I haven't seen too much blocking and stuff. I think there was like a wave of people that he demonetized and deprioritized or something. You know, there's always that threat. As long as there's somebody in charge of something, there's always a lever that can be pulled, or, you know, somebody that can be blackmailed or bribed or whatever the case may be. That's where like decentralization, comes in. And that's why, you know, like TC was saying, it's always good to have a backup there, you know, find your friends now so you don't have to like scramble around later. The biggest thing for me with, Nostr compared to Twitter is just, you know, there's not as much content shared on there, and there's not, you know, the normies aren't there yet. So your reach won't be as big, obviously, you know. So like I think Twitter's still like the place where a lot of people are chatting. The upside of Nostr's, I don't see as many bots. I don't think it's like financially relevant for bots to be on there right now, so that's good.
Well, you're not getting the algorithm feed. You're not getting like a bunch of curated shit stuck in front of you. You're literally seeing the stuff of the people you follow. So it's a weird experience at first, because I think people feel like there's not enough like content regularly because they're so used to just doom scrolling an algorithm driven feed. But once you get over that, and also once you like follow enough people, you'll have enough things, but you realize in like 60 seconds, you can get up to date with like, you know, what's happened on Nostr today versus sitting there for 10 minutes or way longer, like doom scrolling through Twitter with all its ads and stuff. The lack of ads in Nostr is a beautiful thing. Like just reading a feed and it's literally all the people you follow is very refreshing.
Yeah. And there's, you can like, there's other like feeds and like, algorithms I think you can like use, right? Like to follow and like,
yeah, I mean, that's like, it's kind of a application layer thing. So you can find, I'm sure over time, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, apps people use that do bring those kind of, approaches in. But as it stands right now, the most commonly used Nostr apps are all pretty straightforward. You're seeing the stuff that the people you follow post.
BFP, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just want to say I joined Twitter in 2009, and it was kind of like, what is this? I was just trying to figure it out. Noster was kind of that way when it came out, and it has evolved quite a bit. Just when it was early on, I made a comment to Jack Dorsey, something about Elon and, you know, questioning his integrity, basically. And I found it crazy that he responded and shot back. And, you know, that like kind of took me by surprise. Like, whoa, Jack Dorsey just responded to me just because I called him out. And it was pretty, pretty cool. But one thing I use Noster for is truth. I feel like you get way more truth out of it. And I mean, Twitter and Noster are the only things I use really in social media, because I try not to get too involved with it. But I like when I hear something about Trump or whatever, I have that mirror, cause he only posts on Truth Social, but on Noster, you can go on a thing. It has all of Trump's posts from Truth Social. It mirrors his account. And so you could check and see if he posted it just by going to Noster, because I didn't ever want to join Truth Social, but it's powerful, and it's getting more and more powerful as people develop and vibe code it or whatever, or vibe code things on it. It's a platform, it's got like so much potential. It's unbelievable.
So do you guys think it's features that will drive the adoption of Noster, or do you think it's going to be pain? Meaning, yeah, people getting, you know, too much garbage information with bots and scams and AI and all of that? Or do you think that it's, as we get on these spaces or people adopt it more, that the network effect will actually take hold and people will start using Noster? Like, how do you guys think it'll be adopted?
I think it's going to be pain, but that's just me. I think the people always they kind of do things when there's no other alternative, and freedom is on Noster and on Twitter. You know, you have limited freedom, but there are people watching you. And, you know, Linda Yaccarino is the CEO. She's part of the World Economic Forum. So, you know, it's compromised here over on Twitter.
I think I agree with BFP. Pain is usually the greatest motivator for most people to make any sort of change in their behavior. But I think that also something that's been a problem on Twitter and on social media in general, that it will continue to become a bigger problem, is just like the amount of noise to signal. And I think that Noster will allow people to be able to kind of really hone in on signal, because like TC mentioned, Noster's not giving you like the curated algorithmic garbage that they're trying to. So like one thing that I've definitely noticed on like, Twitter's doing it now, and it was started with Facebook and Instagram, but I mean, they're all doing it now, but you're seeing less and less from the people you actually follow and you want to see from, and these curated algorithmic pieces of trash are just giving you stuff from other people you don't follow, so that they can swell that their swell their following numbers, and you're not actually seeing the information you want to see. So I think that's a pain point that will probably push the adoption or the use of Noster a little bit more aggressively as more people find out about it.
Yeah, just look at the trending and the news on your Twitter feed. It's so whack. Like, you know, it's curated feed, that the stuff they want you to pay attention to. Just the fact that it's not listed by actual posts and, you know,
oh, and they
Epstein and files.
To your point, BFP, like the things that they want you to pay attention to are the things that get you emotionally charged, which are going to be the most extreme things. And it's just like, no, like, we don't need to feed the outrage machine. Like, people will pick up outrage as like naturally as much as they want. Like, we don't need to make it worse. And these systems are just making it worse. And they're increasing the volatility and like the mass formation psychosis, and it's just a bunch of nonsense.
BFP, you kind of touched on it. Maybe we can shift topics unless somebody wants to talk a little bit more about Noster. We do have a few minutes left in the show. What are you guys' take on the, I guess the outcome of this Epstein investigation? Like, what do you guys think? I know we've talked about it in spaces before, and the hope was that Trump was going to, you know, right all the wrongs and come out with all the information. And it seems like, that landed with a dud. So, curious to hear people's thoughts. Is it a nothing burger? Does it matter? And then lastly, wanted to say good morning to Jimmy. Thanks for coming on the stage.
I am personally very relieved to find out that there was, in fact, no client list for Epstein and that none of our government officials were compromised by a foreign government spy agency. It's very relieving.
Especially Prince Andrew.
Yes, yes. I was very concerned, you know. You know, shame on all those victims for making all that stuff up. You know, I guess it's good that Jeffrey Epstein definitely killed himself in that prison cell. I'm glad they found footage of a hallway to show that that's definitely the truth. You know, all good things. For a second there, I thought we were living in a really dystopian place. But now that they've set the record straight, it's really good to hear.
Yeah, it makes me angry, the whole thing. Like, how long can this go on? There's got to be a day of reckoning. I mean, how many years? It's like, really?
I don't think we're ever going to get anything, dude. It's going to be like the JFK files. Even when they release them, they don't really release them. And there's, you know, there's like, I don't know if you guys ever like took time to look through them and stuff, but there's like missing pages and whatnot. And it's like, okay, like you numbered the pages. Like, where'd that page go? You know?
But Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison for people that were never, I mean, how do they expect anyone to believe that lie? It's just so comical and like sarcastic almost.
They don't care about anybody actually believing it. They just want people to get so frustrated they just throw their hands up in the air and they give up.
Yeah, you'll see it. That I mean, like people will be outraged and they'll complain and this and that. But you know, people get the sanest politically, like after the presidential election, like that. Like one, like right around now, right before the midterms. And then, you know, they'll be sane and they'll call out like their quote own party a lot for the bullshit. But then once election time comes up, like when it actually matters, like they'll just fall in line. They'll be like, yeah, well, you know, we know he did all these things, but you know, it's time to do what's best for the party. The other guy's really bad. And like until we can like actually like inflict a cost on these parties by like, you know, like, yeah, the other guy sucks and he's terrible, but I'm not voting for like, you know, somebody that's protecting pedophiles, then yeah. It's just going to keep going, you know?
But it's making that comment by Elon even more prescient today than it was. I mean,
I guess we know who's telling crazy. The truth there, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, I thought he was just drunk posting, but I guess not.
Well, and it also, to kind of BFP's point of being just outraged, it really is a hallmarker. It shows that we can't change this system from within. There's too much blackmail and too much just evil that is going to do what it has to in order to protect the entire system itself. Cause the system's now a perpetuating negative feedback loop for the people, I think. It also shows that the governmental body has completely captured the judicial system. It's no longer a three-party system that has legitimate checks and balances. It is entirely a single-party monster that is not serving the will of the American people whatsoever.
Well, all that, and then also like just confirmation that the world doesn't give a damn about girls and women. I mean, I have a wife, I have a daughter. This shit hits hard when it comes to that side of things. It's like true. All the corruption, all the blackmail. It's just the most sick, distorted, twisted system. But I mean, at the root of it all, there's like, you know, people being like having their lives destroyed too. And it's really awful on that level too. I don't know. There's just so many layers of immoral, unethical horribleness there.
Well, and to make matters worse, this is also following, I don't know if you guys have been following the Diddy case, but it looks like he's getting off on all of the most important stuff. It seems like the case was set up strategically so that the most egregious charges he would not get charged for, and they're getting him on like second degree prostitution, transportation and shit like that. So it just goes to show, like, without getting too doomy here at the end, you can't trust the government or law enforcement or the American judicial or legal system to actually protect people when it matters most. Like, you really have to protect yourself financially and physically.
Well, I mean, don't you think they kind of used it as a as like a carrot politically too?
Oh,
like, there's so many angles. It's not just the, you know, effect on the politicians and the, you know, the blackmail and the corruption, but like, look at how manipulative it is to the public when they dangle, you know, trying to uncover it. And then, you know, now they're just sweeping it under the rug, you know, change new topic, basically. and it's just interesting how these things they squeeze so much value out of it. And that's why it happens, because it's super effective.
Yeah. A lot of times too, you see resolution to these things, or supposed resolution to these things in this case, during a time where they're trying to distract you from other things that they're doing wrong. And so every time something nonsensical comes out like this, and I was thinking this as BFP was talking, that it's like, okay, what are they covering up, or what are they trying to distract you from?
Well, and Bob, the unfortunate thing, and kind of what like we're all getting at, is there is no shortage of illegal or morally deficient activity that they're trying to distract the people from. That is politics in general right there.
Yep, I totally agree. So guys, we're going to start winding down the show. It's kind of an interesting week. One thing I did want to say, if anybody was at Bitcoin Alaska, or is, maybe traveling back from that this week, I'd love to have somebody come up and share their experience. Looked like a great time from the videos. I know longtime listener Montani was there, and quite a few others. And so curious to get an update from anyone who was in attendance. So we don't have to do that today, but sometime this week would be great. If you did attend, feel free to shoot me a DM. We'll try to get you up here. And let's start winding down the show. Wanted to give people the opportunity to give final thoughts before we close out this Monday. And just as a reminder, if you're a first time listener or haven't caught it yet, we do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Would love to have you join us anytime this week or in the future. But yeah, wanted to go around the horn and give people opportunity to give some final thoughts here before we close out the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. We had a highest weekly close ever last night, so that was pretty cool. And I think all-time highs are next. Strap in.
We do open up talking about that stuff, the floods and stuff in Texas. I think Team Rubicon, I saw a post that they have like a $100,000 match. So, you know, anything you donate, somebody wealthier than us, I suppose, is matching up to 100 grand. That's a organization I volunteered with in the past. Seems pretty cool. They just go out there and they help, in all sorts of ways. And like the leader of it, at least from recent events, seems to be a guy of pretty good integrity. Consider donating there, or any other organization helping out there, help those people.
I was just going to say, back to the, people in government at the top, men of integrity are pariahs in the, government we have these days. That's why Massey is kind of demonized by everyone, and he's not perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect, but it seems like the people that are more and more evil and willing to, you know, do atrocious things, they get higher up in government somehow. So it'll be refreshing when the day of reckoning comes. Hopefully, it helps to have a third party, more competition at least. But I don't know.
And when that day of reckoning comes, it is going to be very beneficial to have a monetary unit that is outside of the control of that system. So just keep that in mind.
And fiat is useless, so yes.
Well, it's not useless, but it is hopeless.
BitPetro or Jimmy, want to have any thoughts here at the end?
Look, man, history has shown us that fiat has a temporary span at best where it's useful, and then because we are dumb monkeys, we make it fail. Fiat in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with creating stock out of something and then selling that to somebody else. It's just when the stock or the thing that you're creating is inflated away because you feel a need to devalue those that hold the underlying asset. That's the problem. Who was it? I believe it was, was Keynes. Like Keynes is supposed to be the big, you know, bad guy. And even he said, look, at the end of the day, all the fiscal stimulus that you have to pump in has to be netted out on the other side. Otherwise, it's a Ponzi. And so even when the guy that is supposed to be the head of the Chicago School of Economics is telling you that you can't just print your way out of it, and everybody in the Chicago School of Economics is saying, UBI, UBI, UBI. I mean, you have to go back to the sources and understand that they're not even talking about the sources. So they're just making their own stuff and calling it a different name. And so understand that really is the name of the game, is just sophistry and just trying to confuse you and trying to get you to talk about one thing when they're really talking about something else. And just understand, go back to first principles. If you hold what you hold and nobody can take it from you, that's what matters.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think we're going to wrap up the show with that. Hopefully we can get Jimmy on later this week and hear his thoughts on some things. But want to say thank you again to everybody who listens each day. Thank you to all of our speakers. Please, guys, if you're in the audience, please follow each one of these guys. We're always playing that game with TC. He comes up on stage when we say something to make him mad. So appreciate him too today. Yeah, if you guys need help on your Bitcoin journey, did want to throw it out there again, get some free help, free resources at bitcoinveterans.org. Go on there, fill out your information. We'll get you plugged in to whatever you need on your Bitcoin journey. But that is all we have for today. Want to wish you guys once again a wonderful Monday, and we'll do this all again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. So please do join us, and remember, whatever you do, please, 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 please do not shitcoin. It's like taking cough medicine to cure your hemorrhoids.
And then the profit. People use fiat currency as a store of value. We told them before.